Savari's going to come read a Bible passage for us, which is Colossians chapter 2. You got that there? Excellent. Thanks, Vary. I think it's going to work. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we pulled apart this Bible passage. We basically, I suppose you'd say, just ripped it apart. We went into small groups and we talked about different aspects of the passage. So today we're going to do a message on it. So this is part four of Colossians. And I hope that my goal today is, I hope God's word and its goal today is that you'll walk away and you'll know who you are in Jesus. You'll know what it means to belong to Jesus. You'll know who Jesus is in your life. Because sometimes I think we feel that we're not sort of living the life we're meant to be, you know, like we're missing out on something. I think that's sometimes presented in Christianity. I think it's presented in our world, within our culture, that, you know, you need this, you need that. It's all these things that are sort of bombarding us, and it happens in the church, it happens in our culture, it happens in our world. And I think most people think this, you know, have I got enough? Have I got everything? Have I got everything in Christ? Is there a sort of secret to the Christian life that gives me more blessings or to answer some prayers or to make me more faithful? And we have this throughout our culture, our life. We have lots of books on secular bookshelves and in Christian bookshelves that tell you, you know, have the life you need and self-esteem and all these sorts of things, trying to complete us, making us feel like as if we're some sort of incomplete human. And certainly if you're outside of Christ, I think you definitely are an incomplete human. But what does it mean for us as Christians? When we receive Christ, it should radically change how we view our life in connection to his life. I think that's what Paul's trying to explain here. When we receive Jesus, we can have assurance that we're actually complete in him. We're actually complete in him. The Apostle Paul is warning the Colossians and us not to be taken captive by false hopes. Not to be kidnapped. Sometimes the word captive can be called kidnapped by philosophies and ideas that would rob us away from who we are in Jesus. Because Jesus gives us complete assurance of being his eternally forever. We are in him. I want you to hold that thought in him. Because that's what we looked at a few weeks back. And Paul in this passage mentions in him, with him, about eight times. You're in Christ, you're with him, you're in him. Paul is trying to make a very important point. You need to be in Jesus. You need to see your entire life as in Jesus. Because having your life in Jesus matters. Why is Paul teaching them and us this idea in him? Paul is going back to look at verses chapter 1:28. He's to present all people mature, complete in Christ. He's warning and teaching us. He's warning and teaching them not to be see your life as incomplete or out if you're in Christ. So Paul wants to teach them and warn them not to let anything take us away, not to be looking at culture's self-help books and thinking, well, I've got Jesus, but this self-help book is going to fix all my problems. You know, because you have Jesus, you have wholeness and fullness in him. And today I want to look at two points that Paul reveals to us in this passage. That if you have received Christ, what Paul actually reveals to us. And firstly, it is that his death is my death, okay, and your death. So you are in his death. And the second thing, his life is my life, is your life. You are in his life. So there's a connection. You are in him. That's why he's saying you're in him. You're in him. The gospel message of Christ, of Christianity, is Jesus died on a cross instead of us. And this is what we call substitutionary atonement, that Jesus was a substitute for us. He stood in our place. And Jesus was an atonement. He paid the debt, the offense that we owed against God. Verses 9-11. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting on the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So in a moment we're going to look at this circumcision idea and try and pull that apart. But for the first one, you think about our substitute. You know, how can Jesus be our substitute? Well, Colossians tells us Jesus was fully human. Jesus was a person who ate, he went to the toilet, he did all these things, he had a body, he had a flesh. We know all these things. Jesus experienced everything he did but didn't rebel against God as we do. And in everything, Jesus trusted God. He was fully God as well. He was fully man, he was fully God. God dwelt in him. He wasn't simply another prophet. He wasn't simply another guru teacher. He wasn't another teacher like Buddha or Gandhi. You know, all the fullness of God dwelt in him fully, 100%, yet fully human. And all our sin and rebellion was done against God as an offense. So we offend God in our thoughts, our actions, everything we do. Therefore, we deserve his punishment. We know these things. And we all stand outside of God's goodness. And we feel the shame of all those wrongs. Yet many things, many people think, and many times we think this, that we deserve God's blessing. Often we don't believe in God, or there is a God, because if there was, he would surely bless us. You know, a lot of people think that today. We can't believe that God would ignore our goodness. Yet we seem to believe that we are perfectly free to ignore him often. You know, in our lives, we think that God should bless us, but we don't have to do anything for God. And that's how bad our problem is with sin. We fail to see our problem, we fail to see who God is, and deep down we offend God, we rebel. The Bible calls this sin often again and again. We want our lives to be independent from God. And even that, sometimes as a Christian, we want our lives to be independent from God. Jesus tacked on. We continually ignore God, thinking that Jesus is more like our guru teacher, our little spiritual guru. But on the cross, Jesus turned this around. Jesus didn't ignore us, and he became one of us. Rather than being independent, he chose to be involved. And Jesus chose to die as our substitute. So that those who receive Jesus, who believe in him, will have eternal life. Rather than see shame and face God's judgment, we would be united to him. We are connected to him. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, took the punishment. The offense was made towards God, and God took the punishment. God stood in our place. We know these things. But do we see the connection with these things? That Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, but we are in him. We're in him because Jesus became flesh. We are connected to him. His flesh is like our flesh. In him we were also, you were circumcised of a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Let's try and unpack this circumcision. Here Jesus connecting the idea of circumcision to Jesus' death. A spiritual circumcision connecting us to Jesus' death. The idea of circumcision goes way back to Abraham, and it was even cultural in Abraham's time. It wasn't even new for Abraham, the idea of circumcision. But this was a link to the covenants that God had made for Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations, that his seed would be a blessing, and that seed and promise was fully revealed in Jesus. But rather than a piece of skin being removed under the Old Testament, something greater has happened with Jesus' circumcision, with the circumcision of Jesus. His flesh was horrifically torn and put to death for us. So if you've received Jesus, you are in Jesus. You are spiritually circumcised. Your flesh has been put to death. There's a connection there. When Jesus died on the cross, your old self died on the cross. You were in him. You were in his death. The true blessing of circumcision is Jesus' death. That's what Paul's trying to explain to us. Explain to them. He's trying to link them back to Abraham, to the promises in Genesis, that Jesus is our true circumcision when we believe in him and trust in him. We are united to him. Abraham's promise pointed us to Jesus. Not only are we in Jesus' death, we are united in his burial. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you have been raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God's, working of God who raised him from the dead. I think I'll just keep this with me, this bottle. You know, there's probably some challenges over the word baptism in this passage, but Mark 10:28, Jesus refers to himself going to the cross as his baptism. Here Jesus is talking about the overwhelming suffering and death that he was about to experience. The overwhelming death that Jesus experienced was for us. We were in him. If we receive Jesus, then we are in Jesus' baptism of suffering and death. If you have your life in Jesus, his death was your death. You see this connection. His suffering was for you. His suffering was your suffering. And you need to be in him. You need to share in that baptism. The baptism of Jesus experienced on the cross was your spiritual baptism of death to sin, your offense to God. Obviously, we have different views on the water baptism, but generally the water baptism symbolizes that reality. It doesn't make that reality. It symbolizes it. You're not into Jesus because of your water. You're into Jesus because of his death, his baptism on the cross. Verse 13 to 14, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside by nailing on the cross. See, all our trespasses, all our offences that we had done to God, every thought that is deep down, every guilt has been cancelled and set aside through the death of Jesus. His death is our death. All the unloving, selfish, hurtful acts we have done and will do have been cancelled in Jesus, no longer held a record. All the things we ignore about God's goodness and holiness, all the wrongs have been wiped clean when you are in Jesus. Every offence, all our trespasses are nailed to the cross because you are united in Jesus in his death. Can anything be greater and more important than to have your life in Jesus? Being in Jesus, knowing that your life is in him, is life-changing. It's not about your sin. It's about Jesus dealing with your sin. It's about being in Jesus. Now, not only does Jesus' death our death, his life is our life. The resurrection is key to being in Christ. Verses 12 to 13, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. So not only Jesus has dealt with our old self, in him we have a new self. Our once dead spiritual lives have been raised with him now. We were once uncircumcised, that is, against God, outside of God's promises. Now we're people living with his promises. We are now people alive with him, connected to Jesus, united with Jesus. I don't know how often we think this during the week. God has made us alive. His Spirit has filled our lives. And the same power that raised Jesus has raised us to new life. We are filled. We're not lacking anything. That's why when we looked at the course of your life, we looked at 2 Peter. God has given us everything for life and godliness. He's given us everything we need. How often do you feel like you lack something as a believer? How often do you feel like you're not fully complete in Jesus? Because you are in him when you think about it. This life isn't independent of Jesus. We are united to him. We are connected to him. Our lives are rooted in him. Our lives are now in him. That's what Paul's trying to say. We are in him, united in his resurrection, and one day we'll rise as Jesus rose, with a new resurrected body like Jesus. See, we don't simply follow another guru. Our entire lives are found in him. Without his life, we can do nothing. Jesus said, John 15, as Nathaniel read, I am the vine and you are the branches. You can't do anything without him. You are connected to him. 100% every day you have to be connected to Jesus, to be in him. And we have to trust his work on the cross. If you have received Jesus, you are fully in him. You are now alive and renewed in Jesus, that every act of rebellion no longer stands against your name. Every offense, every thought, every action of anger, God has wiped away. Because your old self has been circumcised, put to death in Jesus. You have been raised to new life and is 100% connected to Jesus. Not because of what you have done, not because of your independent goodness, but because of who you are in Jesus, because of his goodness, his righteousness. His righteousness is your righteousness. That's why Paul tells us not to be captive by things less than Jesus. It makes no sense. Why would you be swept away by something that cannot give you the assurance that Jesus can? It cannot give you the eternal life that Jesus can and cannot connect you in the way Jesus does. Why would you let these things have authority over your life? Why would you let something that's not according to Jesus take hold of your life in such a way that you fail to see who you are in Jesus? Paul is warning, be careful. Be attentive to your life. He's teaching us that she shouldn't be taken captive, kidnapped away. Because you are complete in him. Verse 6, therefore as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I like Rory Shiner. He had an illustration in one of his books. And I'm going to say this to you, so if you ever read his book, copied him a bit. But imagine there is a plane. Okay, imagine there's a plane and it's going to Perth. The plane's there, it's going to Perth, you're in the airport. Now you can be inspired by that plane. You can be sitting in the airport and look at the plane and you can be inspired by that plane. You can sit under the plane if you like, be careful, but you can sit under the plane. You can study the plane. But if you want to get to Perth, you have to be in the plane. You have to be in the plane. This is what it's like being in Jesus. If we trust Jesus, that he is trustworthy, if we trust that his death is our death and his life is our life, then our act of faith is we get in the plane. We place our lives in him, our redemptive plane. This should radically transform our thinking and our living as we see our lives in him. So you've got to picture yourself. We see ourselves here, disconnected from Jesus. We're in the plane. Think yourself that way. You're in the plane. Our new lives are now connected to Jesus. We are in him, so we live as his new people in him. We're not on the plane because of our religious deeds. We're on the plane because we have trusted in Jesus and we believe in him. Our eternal destiny depends on Jesus, so we need to be on the plane, in the plane. If we're not in the plane, we're not in Jesus. We could be people inspired by the plane. We could know about the plane and try to follow the plane, but we're not in the plane. You need to be in Jesus. That's the right kind of inspiration. You need to have the right kind of knowing. You need to have the right kind of following. No point chasing after the plane and trying to follow it, trying to live up to its expectation. You're going to find you can't fly. You look embarrassed. Being in Jesus makes an eternal difference because it makes a difference to our eternal destination. Because where Jesus is, we will be. It's pretty simple. Wherever the pilot is, you're going to be. We follow Jesus because we are in him. We are united to him. It's not in our strength, but because of his powerful work in us. You can have assurance that Jesus fully completes you. You're in him because you are in the plane. Your life is forever eternally safe in Jesus. In Jesus, with Jesus. And everything that is his is yours. So what does Paul say we should do? Walk in him. It makes complete sense. What should we do? We should have our lives deeply rooted in him. Know who we are in Jesus through his word. grow to see our lives in Him. As a tree needs soil for its roots, so our lives are deeply rooted and secured in Jesus. Allowing something to remove us from the soil will have no life and no growth. As branches are to the vine, so our life is connected to Jesus. He is our vine, our source of all things. Without Him, we can do nothing. How could we for a minute consider life as a branch outside Jesus? Why would we even think of ourselves being independent, like as if Jesus has tacked onto our lives? As we sit on the plane with Jesus as an amazing, all-knowing, all-powerful God and King, the pilot of our lives, we can know that where Jesus is, we are. We walk in Him because our lives are united to His. We are connected, deeply rooted and founded in Him. But is that your life today? Are you walking in Jesus? Are you in Jesus? See, nothing can make us complete except Jesus. We may try many things and fail, but in Jesus we succeed because He has succeeded for us. Isn't it amazing when you think about the gospel message? That's why we proclaim the gospel message as good news, because Jesus is everything we ever needed. There is no reason to get off the plane. You haven't received a human philosophy or some wisdom or a religion that's powerless and not divine. Jesus, who is fully God, is fully divine, who has made us fully complete in Him. Don't be kidnapped into thinking some thought of wisdom or tradition or something could take you away from that. That's why Paul struggled so much with the Judaizers. With all their traditions and things they're trying to bring in. You're in Christ. Don't think you're not fully complete in Christ if you're in Christ. Know more about Him. Grow more. The natural result is growth. Don't waste your life growing in lesser things. Why would you let something take place of Jesus? Can you see that Jesus isn't simply a decision we make? We don't simply invite Him into our lives so He can share a little corner of our hearts and our souls. Oh dear, how sweet. No, we are in Jesus. He gives us life and makes us complete in Him. Jesus is the one who invites us into Him. Jesus is the one who willingly dies so we can be in Him. He's the one who's resurrected so we can have eternal life in Him. To receive Jesus is to be in Him. We don't simply receive Christ, we receive Him and walk in Him. If your life is now in Jesus, you naturally walk in Him. You're on the plane. You grow. Your life is deeply rooted in Him. If you're in Jesus, you're part of His team to see other people who aren't on the plane get on the plane. You're also there to help other people on the plane trust Jesus more. Think about the scenario. If you've been on the plane for a long time, you're confident. But if you've just come on the plane, you're a bit sort of like, yeah, I'm on the plane, but sometimes I'm a bit shaky. The people on the plane are there to help the other people on the plane. We're going to see this as we look through Colossians. In chapters 3 and 4, it talks about, you know, giving a word and encouraging one another. Imagine on the plane, oh gee, you know, I'm a bit worried. I don't know what the takeoff's going to be like, or I don't know what this guy's like. No, trust him. You know, I've been on this plane for ages. You can trust this Jesus. He's a good pilot. That's what the community of the Christian life is about. This is what Colossians is about. We don't belong to some organized religion called Christianity. We follow Jesus because we're in Him. We don't follow a set of rules found in the Bible. We are in Jesus, who has revealed Himself to us and revealed Himself in the Scriptures through the apostles and taught us what it means to live in Him. You are no longer you. Your old self has been circumcised. Your old self is cut off in Jesus. You are now in Jesus. You are in Jesus spiritually, who took your punishment, your atonement. You are in Him. You've been baptized with His death, you're in Him. You've been raised with Him, made spiritually alive, you are 100% completely in Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, you will be. So because you are fully in Jesus, walk fully in Him. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. There is no legal offense that is attached to your life. All sin has been dealt with, and Jesus isn't the attachment to your life. You are eternally attached to Him. and you are in Jesus eternally forever. He's not going to let you go. That's why Paul says, praise be our God. Give praise to our God. Be thankful for our God, for what he has done. His grace and his mercy blows our mind away. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is good. It teaches us such simple things, yet such profound things. Lord, that we have our lives in your Son. That as you look at Jesus, you see us there. You see our sin and punishment taken on the cross. You see our lives being raised with his. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that we place our trust in you and believe that you are the one who can give us assurance, who can complete us when we feel shame and lack of inability, that it's not our strength but your strength. It's not us but us being in you. And we give you praise once again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you have done. Amen. Let's have a coffee and a drink and...